It's Thursday, September 10th, 2015, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, a show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 118, Dumb Quest for Babies. Runtime for this episode is 50 minutes. Hello, and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that defeated Wyoming and got 150 XP. My name is Jeremy.
We also went on the optional side quest to the Medicine Bow Forest Range and got the Orb of the Woods. I'm Tyler.
I wasn't in the side quest there, but I was in on the main quest going all the way up to acquire the Boxes of Oil Well power.
Oh, that's okay. The Orb of the Woods is actually Jeremy's level up item, so...
Yay.
That would be why I was a little bit behind in XP, because I wasn't on the first 10 episodes of this podcast, so yeah. I was a little bit behind in level.
And we haven't gotten mine yet anyway, so we got a while.
Now I can edit two podcasts at a time instead of just one.
And also cast of Cure Moderate Wounds.
Only three times per day.
You know, it's still pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
It's like a techno-thurge.
Sure, let's go with that. Man, it's been like 2 weeks since we recorded, because we're horrible people.
Yeah, it's been a while.
You guys are horrible people.
For not driving out to Wyoming with you to record a
not
podcast.
Not following me to Wyoming to record a podcast.
Zach, what horrible games have you been playing because you're a horrible person and need to be recharged by them, like Dracula drinking blood?
Well, last week I just played a lot of League of Legends. I know, shocking. And then I played a bunch of Fire Emblem Sacred Stones.
Have you finished that yet?
No, I haven't. But I got to like floor 8 in the tower. Like the grind tower, because I got to a point where I was like, I'm watching the playoffs. I'm going to just keep playing this while I have it on my TV, because I can watch it on my TV, and this has required like no actual time.
Is the grind tower just like a really giant sandwich?
It's filled with succubi, and then as you go up, there start to be incubi, and then the top level has club music.
It's Jeremy. No, like I got this far, and I'm like, the boss of this floor actually has a hero crest. Which is what you need to upgrade Myrmidons, fighters, and heroes.
Other people with swords.
Pretty much, yeah. But, like, oh, that guy has that. And then there was also a treasure chest, so I was bringing my rogue, who can just open treasure chests without needing...
Like some sort of rogue. Like
that. Yeah. But the problem was he died.
That is really inconvenient. Do you have to start the entire tower over or something?
You cannot save in between floors in the tower. And it does warn you that you can't do that. You can suspend... And you can leave by, you know, just beating the floor or retreating at any time you want.
But then you have to start the entire tower over?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. It's kind of supposed to be the King of the Hill type of thing, as I understand it.
Who are you taking the hill from?
The monsters, clearly.
Oh.
Like, the first one is all, like, zombies and stuff, and then the second floor adds some centaurs and giant spiders. And the one I was on, it had ogres. There was one, like, Medusa on it.
Everyone knows centaurs and giant spiders are best friends, and they love living together. They just make really good roommates because they're never in the apartment tower at the same time.
And you know what both of them like putting in the garden? Zombies.
Yeah, I know. It's some weird ones, but the game itself is still very, very solid. Generals still busted from our first game.
Well, one day we'll play it as an assignment, I bet.
Probably. Gonna happen sooner or later. But
Zach, did you steal the entire cookie jar? Because all of the guards and all of the video games just got exclamation marks over their head because of the way you said that.
And I was also playing this Five Nights ripoff. Well, not ripoff. It's like a little fan type thing. I know
Four Nights at Bobby's.
No, it's actually really dumb, but I found because someone had like a Let's Play type thing on YouTube. It's just Five Nights in anime.
Yep, that sounds pretty bad.
It's terrible. Like, I don't know how to describe it.
I don't
You're
even know what generic
up.
Anime hot chicks are these days. But does one of them just grab you and...
No, it's all the like animatronics are the like hot chicks.
Yeah, I was going to say... I'm imagining like a maid cafe with terrible, I'm like imagining a light erotic horror game where the jump scares have a lot of boobs in them.
Yes, they do.
But I'm like, I'm trying to think of what characters would be in there. Lacus Klein? No, Jeremy, that's your fetish, not everybody else's.
But like, it is dumb. But it, playing through a couple of them, I'm like, oh, I can actually understand why some people like the Five Nights gameplay now, because I had one of the nights where I got down to like 3% energy before the night rolled over.
It's like, oh, barely scraped by.
Pretty much, yeah. So it's like, you know, I can kind of see it now. This is dumb. This iteration of it, because, you know, originally a horror game and does function on kind of the same ideas, but this is really silly.
I saw one that was kind of a JRPG where all the animatronics were the bosses of levels.
Yeah, I've seen things like that.
There are all sorts of them floating around at this point. I guess it was, well, pretty simple, so it's really easy to make different versions of it that follow the same rules.
And I mean, horror, sex, and comedy are basically all the same thing, right? They're about building tension and then releasing it, and it's always best when something unexpected happens.
Yeah.
You put what where? That's not where the comedy goes.
No, that's adventure games, Tyler. I sent you that Ryan North.
Yeah, I finally got around to reading that. That was pretty good.
I'm going to tell this story, so you have to link it. Ryan North, he writes Dinosaur Comics, currently is writing Adventure Time. Wrote To Be or Not to Be, one of my favorite Choose Your Own Adventures. So basically a comedy writer. He took his dog for a walk. He's like, we're going to walk through the skate park because there's no one here because it's raining. And he got his dog trapped in the bottom of a skate bowl and he couldn't get his dog out.
So how? So he could get out, but
the dog could make it down the skate ball because it's an easy gradient, right? You basically fall down. The dog could not make it back up.
Because it kept falling down. So he could get up, but he couldn't figure out a way to get his dog out.
Well, usually, at least the skate parks that are around us here in Parker, there's like a open area that leads just straight out.
No, this is just a bowl.
Oh, it's just a straight up bowl. Okay. Yep.
But he ended up asking Twitter to help him out, and they started playing it like an adventure game.
He's like, I have an umbrella, a leash, a dog collar. How do I get a dog?
And a magic internet box.
Like, clearly, you have to use umbrella on dog. And that's what he ended up doing. And
he's just like, use the umbrella to get the dog out?
Yeah, he's like, I played adventure games for so long. That's the first thing I should have tried.
But one of the questions the interviewer asking was like, do you ever like get up in the morning? And he's like, you know, I can't because you can't get up.
I guess
I don't see up here.
I guess it's a good thing that his dog wasn't a big dog.
No, it was. That was what the problem was.
Yeah, if it had been a small dog,
he would just lift it up and
or just like hug. I'm kind of surprised he didn't just like walk up to the edge and huck the dog, and then like follow the dog out.
Well, I mean, like it depends on your definition of big dog, right? Like a Great Dane, you're out of luck. You ain't getting that thing out of there unless it wants to come out of there.
Yeah, like a tow truck.
Oh yeah, or a tow truck. Like you got to go home, get your car and a tow hitch, and then you might have some luck. Of course, if you have a little tiny dinky little car, it's not going to matter. You need one of Jeremy's Chevys to get a Great Dane out of anywhere. It doesn't want to be.
I like how you said that plural. Like I have a fleet of them.
You don't?
Sadly, no.
You keep replacing it.
I've got a Ferd 1500.
No, is that again?
A Ferd.
It's the same boat, even though I've taken all of the planks out and replaced them with new planks.
Oh, wait. Theseus Paradox. Yes. There we go.
Have you played anything else, Zach?
No.
Tyler, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Payday. I completed two of the achievements, which were beat everything on hard and beat everything on very hard and got masks for it. I'm now working on beat everything on overkill.
That sounds really hard and overkill.
You know, only have to have done it once. The problem was that I played a lot of it offline, and it used to keep separate counters of the offline and online versions, and they recently combined them, but I lost it. It used the online ones because it assumed that everyone played online more, so I lost a lot of my counts for stuff.
I feel as though a lot of people do play online more often than they play offline with Payday.
Probably, but I'm antisocial, so I don't play with random strangers.
I don't either, but usually when I set up a game of Payday, I play online, but I set it so that only my friends can join the game.
Yeah.
Which can lead to awkward situations like I'm running the silent mission and my friend appears right in front of a guard.
Not my fault.
So I blame the game for
right back in the action.
Yeah, I blame the game for spawning me right in the action.
It was partly my fault. I got stuck behind that when you were spawning.
Definitely your fault. Been playing a lot of Smash. Not surprising anyone. I watched a couple random Evo matches.
Yeah.
I also watched maybe it was an exhibition, I don't know. It was part of the, like, winner's semi-final. I was watching Mewtwo King play Donkey Kong. And learned something. Apparently it's a combo called the Ding Dong.
Yeah, Mewtwo King was not at Evo. It was controversial. So it wasn't Evo. I don't know where.
Why didn't he go to Evo?
He had surgery or something. There was some conflict he had that he couldn't go.
So why was there a controversy that he wasn't there?
Controversy is the wrong word. It was people were disappointed because he had said he was going to go and he ended up not being able to. And he's one of the best Melee players in the world, so disappointing that he's not at the biggest tournament.
And shaping up to be one of the better Smash 4 players, so.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. I was thinking, like, controversial. Like, he decided to boycott it because there was something else. Like, they had Street Fighter V there, so he boycotted.
that's where they announced Street Fighter V, technically.
I don't keep track of where that is. But of where Street Fighter is.
Actually, they didn't announce it there. They announced the pay scheme for it.
Didn't they only... They've only released, like, two versions of Street Fighter IV. What are they going to do for their money to get
three.
To Street Fighter V?
Three. They did three Street Fighter IVs. Actually, I think they did four.
So are we including the one on the 3DS? Because I would.
No, I wasn't counting that as a separate one. Though you could. I think that's just Super Street Fighter IV, but on the 3DS. I think the rule set is exactly the same.
Probably. Anyway, there's a combo called Ding Dong, where you take Donkey Kong on, like, one of the higher ledges, usually on Battlefield. Do the forward throw where you, like, six them on the back, jump, throw them up, do your double jump and catch them with an up tilt, and it's usually good for a kill with about 60% damage, which is kind of broken.
But no one plays Donkey Kong.
Yeah, he's actually top tier now because of this. So.
Oh, okay, well.
Lots of people play Donkey Kong again.
I don't watch Smash 4. I watch Melee because I'm hardcore. So. Fox yeah. only and Jigglypuff.
That's because up throw to rest. I actually, having watched a bunch of Smash 4 videos, I watched a bunch of Melee videos, and I'm like, man, I'm playing the wrong game if I actually want to be playing a competitive game.
I actually do like watching Smash 4, but Melee is just
it's
another
amazing.
Game.
It's amazing.
How exactly is Melee any different from Smash 4?
It's a lot faster.
Yeah, it's everything you do is faster, basically, so you have to react much faster. There's also just more stuff you can do with directional influence.
Yeah.
If you don't play Smash, one of the big deals is you have a lot of influence over where your character flies,
when
depending on how you move the stick and when. It's just a little more complicated in Melee. Also, Melee has wave dashing, which is a little overhyped, but it is an interesting mechanic that...
Also, L canceling. I'm kind of sad they took that out of Smash 4. Honestly,
Melee just has more mechanics, so there's a higher skill ceiling.
I feel
therefore, you can be better at it, so the matches are better.
I feel like DI in Smash 4 is actually a lot more interesting, but Melee is just so much faster, and every time you get hit, you get stunned for longer, so that provides more room for doing crazy combos. I was watching some guy play Dr. Mario, and there's a thing where at about 60% damage on your opponent, you can do an up tilt in the air to another up tilt in the air to a forward tilt in the air, and it's usually good for a kill. But you can't do that in 4, because, like, you're lucky to get maybe a 2 or 3 hit combo.
And Dr. Mario doesn't exist in 4?
Yeah, he does.
I thought they removed, like, all the clone characters.
Yeah, they put a lot of them back in.
They put a lot of them back in 4. They removed them all for Brawl. But people are like, oh man, I wish he was still here. And it's obviously easy for them to do, and if it makes people happy,
and he actually plays a lot differently now, because they changed Mario sufficiently between Melee and 4, that and kept Dr. Mario the same, that they actually play a lot differently now.
Okay.
But definitely Melee seems like the much harder game, technically. I had actually been playing something else, although I can't remember what it was. That one game. Oh, yeah, I've been playing the Stanley Parable.
Oh, how do you like that?
Oh, no, it's a lot of fun. I played it back when it was in beta. So it was in free beta, like, a year before they released the actual version.
Yeah.
But I'm continuing to enjoy it. Alex has seen it for the first time, and she finds it hilarious, so.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
There's one that's an achievement for, like, clicking on a door 5 times. It's like, Stanley, are you really just doing that for the achievement? I don't think that's worth an achievement. Go run to this other door and click on that instead. Yeah, as you run across the entire office complex for about 20 minutes. That's
trying to get the achievement?
Yeah. So that's pretty amusing. There was another game I got recently off of a bundle that I played, but I can't remember what it was now. That's pretty much all I've been doing this week. Lots and lots of Payday. Also, lots and lots of Tear Up My Kitchen.
That's a fun game.
It is, actually. I got to use a sledgehammer.
So. Are you using hard mode?
Yes, I am, actually. I'm doing all the electrical wiring myself.
So, okay, we'll make sure we get you a nice headstone after you're electrocuted.
I've done this before. This is not my first rodeo.
He's trained Pikachus before.
Tyler, what has Jeremy been playing?
I don't know. I'm going to say building Gundam models. That's not really a video game, though, so.
It's not a video game, but I was playing it, yes. I built a sweet, perfect strike. It's hard to pose, but it's got a cool gun and a cool sword.
We've got a howitzer.
Yeah, one thing I love about that series is that everything is German for some reason. There's like a Lohengrad district in some of the colon. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And they're all speaking Japanese.
Yes, except when they're speaking English.
Sword the Striker! Oh, it must be a sword.
Now that I think about it, that's actually kind of common. There are quite a few of those that are actually German. Not just in Gundam, but in a lot of other things. They're just, for whatever reason, they're like German verbs.
I think Japan likes German weapon names specifically.
It's kind of a new phenomenon. It used to be Spanish. Bleach was kind of the last one that did Spanish as the big thing. And now it's German.
Although Gundam Seed was 2002. It predates Bleach.
Details.
Anyway, I've been playing Build Gundam Models. That's pretty fun. I've also been playing, because my brother's back in town, Arkham Knight.
Ah.
And I kind of want to stress, Arkham Knight is a great game, because I'm going to just complain about it.
Welcome to the podcast.
But I really want to stress, it's really good. The combat is way better than the previous Arkham games. The stealth is better.
That's impressive, honestly, that they did better on either category. So
the tutorialization is really off, though. Like, it doesn't really remind you everything you can do. You have to, like, struggle through it. And if this is your first one, you're,
oh, man,
I think, going to have a bad time because you start with most of the moves already unlocked.
That would be really rough. Oh. Wait, you start with them unlocked?
You don't have Metroid Syndrome?
No, Batman did not forget how to punch people. I don't think you start with the instant takedown, but you might. They've added a context-sensitive thing where Batman will, like, jump up and crash lamps down on people.
Oh, that's cool.
He can also steal bats now from people who are using them. And
he could do that before.
I totally saw the wrong kind of bat.
But now he'll actually hit people with them for a few attacks.
Oh, as opposed to just, like, as
just
part,
like,
of the
snapping
animation?
Them. Yeah, there's actually a command to, like, grab melee weapon from a stunned guy.
Okay, and just, like, beat them over the head with it. I really want them to be, like, waving bats around.
I can't get that out of my head now. He takes the bat away and whacks a guy with a flying rose.
He's like, be free.
The stealth sections, there are a lot fewer gargoyles, so you can't really inverted takedown you can't really inverted takedown everybody. And they've added this fear mechanic that I don't think they quite got right. When you silent takedown someone, you get fear, so basically you always have fear. And you can use fear to take down a bunch of people all at once.
Oh, that's actually kind
of
neat.
So what, you just walk out of a room and they all crap their pants and fall over?
No, the way it works is you hit X instead of Y and you take someone down and you go into a slow-mo and you, if you can see someone, if you can get them within the camera, you can hit X again and take down more people and kind of chain off.
It's like bullet time fear meter.
Yeah.
Sounds like the one of the mechanics from one of the more recent Splinter Cells. I think it was Conviction, where you could just select certain number of people and then hit the button and it would automatically execute the commands that you had input.
It's not quite like that because you have to do each takedown separately, but yeah, kind of similar thought.
I was hoping it worked like Mark of the Ninja.
And I'm getting into the Batmobile like when it's Mario Kart racing. And the Riddler's like, riddle me this, Batman!
How do you evade a blue shell?
But the Batmobile combat I just don't think is very good. Basically, you have, I guess, three actions. You can dodge a wrench. You can shoot.
In a car.
And as you kill enemies, you have a super meter that charges up. But if you ever take damage, your super meter gets lost. And you need to kill like six enemies to charge it up. So basically the enemies can never be interesting enough to hit you or you don't get to use your
super move.
Yeah.
That's kind of defeats the purpose of both having a super move and having to charge it.
And surprisingly,
the enemies aren't interesting enough to really use it on.
And they're starting to introduce more interesting enemies. Like now there are missile drones that shoot missiles at me and I have to shoot them down with the Vulcans, but it's still, the combat feels kind of chore-like.
That's unfortunate. I'm kind of surprised it like dumps your entire super gauge in one hit.
It does it slowly, but it's a thing where if you get hit once, you tend to get hit three or four times.
Gotcha.
So you tend to lose it pretty quickly. And there are upgrades that make it so you lose less. I'm doing a thing where I'm dumping all my upgrades into Batmobile combat so it will just be over faster.
That's unfortunate that it's forced you to that.
It hasn't forced me to. It's just, I don't think the upgrade system is nearly as good, to be frank, and so I'm putting them there.
It's never been great.
Well, you start
honestly
with some of the best moves that you can already use because they optimize the combat, and since you're already, if you're playing it right, you don't really need to worry too much about using stuff in combat.
And there are like 9 trees now instead of 2.
9?
I think it's six.
Six?
I think there's Batmobile combat, gadgets, cool things with gadgets, and stealth.
Why
cool
do you need that many skill trees?
Also, instead of being, hey, you leveled up, you get an ability, you gain an experience point when you level up, and abilities cost different experience points.
Yeah, they did that in Origins.
Yeah, I don't like it. And I don't remember doing that in Origins. I believe you, because I didn't like Origins. But
I actually liked that.
Also, the story, they have a lot of good ideas, but the execution is so bad. It's gotten to the point where the side quests are way more fun because I get gameplay without story.
That's bad.
Also, the type of Batman story I don't like. He's being all mean to all his allies and trying to scare them away, like, no, I can do this, I'm Batman, which are like my least favorite Batman stories. Also, the Arkham Knight is pretty lame and whiny, and Scarecrow isn't showing up enough. and all of the girls are kidnapped forever. The game starts with Poison Ivy kidnapped, and you have to rescue her.
Wait, why do you have to rescue Poison Ivy?
To throw her in jail.
So yep. Who kidnapped her?
Scarecrow, because reasons.
He needed to extract fear plant toxin from her.
Then the Arkham Knight kidnaps Oracle. And you're spending the whole game chasing her. Then the Riddler calls you and is like, riddle me this, Batman. I put a bomb collar on Catwoman. So you better come do my riddles.
That's not really a riddle.
No, but neither are any of his riddles. They're all Batmobile platforming challenges. Two of them so far I've accidentally solved way faster by doing something dumb. I'm like, man, this was poorly designed, but this is perfect. Batman doesn't have time to mess with these riddles.
Oh, man, that's bad.
So, like I said, I think the game is really good, but I wish...
Definitely has problems.
I wish they would have had a writer.
Bitches about it.
Yeah. I think that's all. Oh, and some Dynasty Warriors Gundam Reborn, but that's not super interesting. I'm doing Gundam Wing characters now.
All right.
Most of the way through, although there are like 50 Gundam Seed Mechs, which is cool because that's my favorite, but I'm going to be doing them for a while.
I should get Gundam Battle Assault 3.
That's all Exceed characters.
Yep.
I like Seed, and I didn't want it because of that.
Oh, okay. Like, for whatever reason, I heard Exceed.
Oh.
I'm not sure
it's
why.
Also a Game Boy Advance game.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
That's less exciting. I was hoping it was a PS2 game.
So anyway, yeah, speaking of Game Boy Advance games, you know how they remade all the Final Fantasies on Game Boy Advance?
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool.
Not this one, because it's not. Also, it's kind of not a Final Fantasy game. But
it does not
arguably
feel like a Final Fantasy game.
It really
game.
Doesn't, does it?
In the West, here, we didn't get Final Fantasy 2 or 3. We kind of didn't even get Final Fantasy 4. I didn't actually learn this when we did that game, or I would have talked about it, but there was actually like a for kids version of Final Fantasy 4. And
what?
Since we hadn't gotten 2 or 3, the Nintendo of Japan was afraid Americans wouldn't get Final Fantasy 4 because they hadn't gotten 2 and 3 and didn't learn new stuff. So we got the easy version, actually.
Is that what this one was supposed to be?
No. That game didn't sell well. RPGs and always have been huge sellers in Japan.
But not so much in America.
They really, really hit with Final Fantasy VI and Chrono Trigger and then FF7, and so there was a huge hype for them.
We like blowing stuff up way too much.
But we hadn't gotten there yet, and so Japan was like, man, how do we get people to buy RPGs in America? I know, let's make a super, super easy one for little tiny babies. And so eventually we get Pokemon, and it proves that works, but this ain't no Pokemon, son.
Pokemon has complexity that this game just lacks.
Pokemon has a hook, is actually what I think it is.
Catch them all.
And you do have choices in Pokemon,
also,
right?
Also, rock, paper, scissors. Yeah, choices in combat, that's nice.
And you can get a freaking dragon.
I think what really it is the choice, because in Pokemon, you start, you get one of the four starter Pokemon. Four. You get one of the three starter Pokemon.
You're counting yellow.
Pikachu.
Clearly. Yeah.
They have two moves, and one of them is kind of worthless at that point in the game. But you feel good for making the choice of doing the right move.
Yeah, tackle or tail whip, because scratch.
Even that is choice to a point that this game just lacks. Because this combat system is basically just attack. You have spells too, and they've gone back to the Final Fantasy 1. You have a certain number of spells per day instead of MP.
Of just types of spells, though, instead of levels of spells.
Which is kind of interesting, but I didn't get to the point where your character gets a spell, because the combat is just so boring in the beginning.
I got heal.
I could get to the point where my allies had spells.
No,
some of them were hidden.
I might not. Like, yeah,
at level two, I had heal.
So the way this combat system works is you have attack, item, spell, and runaway. If you attack, you just attack a guy. If you guard, you can actually guard your party members, which is kind of interesting.
Or yourself.
I never used guard.
I had my party members do it so they didn't waste MO in combat.
Yeah, so did I.
Not that it mattered because they start with 99 and they never go through it. So
yeah, let's. What's the story of Mystic Quest? An old man told you save world and
no,
you
not even
K-Bro.
That. You're on a mountain talking to him and he's like, I bet you're the chosen hero. And you're like, yeah, I'm the chosen hero. And he's like, bro dog, go kill that monster. And you're like, yeah. And then you do. And he's like, I knew I was right. And your character's all outraged because you're like, what do you mean you didn't know I was the chosen one, bro? And he's like, whatever, got to go save the relics or some bro dog out. There is no story. It's implied that you went there to go talk to him for some reason, but we don't even know who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't see that first point of when your guy decides to go over there.
And this game is trying to have adventure RPG aspirations. The overworld map, you can jump, but that's not very interesting because you always jump exactly the same space. There's no platforming to it.
Yeah, there get to be puzzles with it later, but they never get very interesting.
And also, instead of random encounters, you see all enemies on the map. which is cool because Earthbound is great, but unlike in Earthbound, they're just static. So it's, I think, worse than random encounters because random encounters provide a tension. You either want them or you don't want them and you don't know when they're going to happen. So they're a jump scare almost. Obviously, they're not scary, but they provide the same sort of tension. This is inevitability. You don't want to fight, but the guy's there, and behind him's another guy, and you probably behind him is going to be another guy.
And really, you want to fight all of them, even though it's boring and tedious to fight them, because you need the experience.
Whereas in Earthbound, you could avoid them because they moved around, and also if you managed to get behind them, that was a minigame, because if you got behind them, you would automatically win initiative and get a surprise round, which was cool.
In this, it's random.
Yeah, it's just not interesting. Like, I guess some enemies are worse against certain types of equipment.
Going back to Pokemon, it does have the super effective. Like, you get an axe, and that's super effective against tree monsters. But again, it never gets interesting.
And it never tells you what weaknesses are. Like, some of them are completely random. For example, bubble crabs? Weak to fire, not lightning. Who knew?
There was one that was, like, weak to my sword for some reason. I'm like, that guy must be weak to my sword because it just took a lot of damage. Why is a frog weak to this?
I never found anything weak to the sword. Granted, I wasn't trying because the axe has a higher attack power.
I accidentally had, because I didn't realize how to change between the axe and the sword. I had the sword out for a while. I think the frog was weak to it. The frog was weak to something that I didn't quite understand.
And this game suffers from a lot of UI problems. Like, it doesn't really tell you that you can change weapons, which actually becomes important later as you get, like, 40 different weapon types.
And also, by default, the party members, other than their main one, aren't controlled by you.
And you only ever have up to one other party member, so that's kind of...
Which is kind of silly, given the fact that it's a Final Fantasy game, and typically those games are party-based.
And talking about Final Fantasy IV versus the original... The original is full of choices. At the beginning, you pick a party from 6 different classes, and you have to very wisely spend your gold on equipping them. There's just nothing going on here, so you don't have any choices to make.
Well, in addition to the fact that gold is basically an unlimited resource because you can always find more monsters to kill...
You don't buy equipment.
Yeah,
you do it later. Okay.
You can buy equipment later, although it's a permanent upgrade. There's not like, hey, this armor's slightly better than this armor, or like gives different effects. You just always wear the best armor. And there's only up to 4 of each of the different slots. The other problem is, like, potions and stuff, there's an unlimited supply of them, because if you find a chest that gives, say, cure potions, if you just leave the screen and go back, the chest is occupied again, and you can just open it.
The enemies respawn too, but...
Yeah, but after a while, you can just waltz through them. I kind of wish it did the Chrono Trigger thing, where if something's weak enough, you just auto-kill it.
Yeah, that happens in Earthbound too, and it really helps save time and interest.
Well, and one of the things that I noticed is... You can just go back to the inn, since it doesn't actually cost you anything, at least on that first screen.
Yeah, later inns will eventually cost money, and that's really your only money sink, but you're too far away to really want to walk all the way back there.
And I'm actually fine with a free healing point in RPGs. I think they should have them. I really like in Final Fantasy X how all save points are also heal points.
Yep.
And they lead you to Blitzball.
That's the best reward. I'm going to save and play some Blitzball, and now I'm going to go and play some Blitzball. And hey, Tauntaun must... Better run away and play some Blitzball.
And I think they were trying to do some interesting stuff with the battle system. Tyler alluded to ammo. Some of your attacks are like ranged weapons that have limited ammo. And I think that's why they had to do the infinite resources thing, because they didn't want you to run out. But that makes it not important that you have ammo. The game is really just, I attack, I watched a dumb animation that's not very good, because nobody loved this game or put any effort into it.
And so, we're trying to get as much money out of this as we possibly can.
I mean, sometimes you do have to use your combat resources to avoid taking damage, but it's like, do I use regular attack here, or do I cast one of my spells? It never becomes very interesting. It's like, always choose the optimal option. Eventually you get a weapon that poisons things, but the things you would want to poison are always immune to it, so it doesn't matter.
In Pokemon, you always do the optimal thing too, but you've chosen your party and what attacks they have, so you feel rewarded for having the optimal thing.
Yeah, because sometimes you don't have the optimal thing, you're like, I really needed this on my team.
And then you either have to try and get away from whatever it is you're dealing with, or muddle
through it. Or scratch Geodude 50 goddamn times so he'll die.
But that's like the entire metagame of Pokemon too, is how do I make a team that can... survive any scenario? And the answer is you can't, so you have to make one that survives most. In this, you're just always given all the gear all the time, and nothing's ever really a challenge, so it's kind of boring.
Yeah, I think we've said our piece on this. It's not a very good game. You should avoid it at all costs.
I mean, you even get other weapon type. Like, you get 40 different types of weapons for your character, but they
that
all behave the exact
way
same way.
Too
bombs
many.
Are AoE.
Yeah, but, and then they get replaced by jumbo bombs. All your weapons get, like, an upgrade. I think the final sword is Excalibur and does, like, additional holy damage or something. So then you have to, like, keep track of all the effects on all your weapons. It never gets very interesting,
though.
That's
way too much bookkeeping.
All right, so are we ready to put some games on a list, guys?
Yeah!
Yeah,
let's do it.
I think this is going to be a long one. For you, those of you who don't know, we have a list on our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, ranking all the games we've played for this podcast from best to worst. At the top of that list is lovely Chrono Trigger. It's way better than this game. In the middle of this list is Mario Brothers, the old arcade one where you fight Freezies.
Oh, that sounds about right.
I thought it was Super Mario Brothers. I'm like, hey, that's exactly where you wanted it. But
nope, Super Mario Brothers, I'm not sure where it is. Much higher than that, probably.
I think it's in the top third of it somewhere.
I think it is, too. Anyway, at the bottom of the list is Space Harrier. It's worse than this game, but at least by a little bit. We'll debate exactly how much worse.
It has that spot locked up.
This game is actually feels similar to me and I. It's just boring and nothing's happening. Space Harrier, at least if I was on acid, I might be interested.
Yes, but we'll debate that when it comes up.
Yes, we will. So the first game we're adding is a real-time strategy. I believe the only real-time strategy on here, though I might be
wrong.
Depends
on if you count Nobunaga's Ambition.
It does. Age of Empires. And let's go straight to Nobunaga's Ambition. I think it's better.
Yeah, I do too.
Is this 2?
Is this 2? Oh, it is Age of Empires 2. I lied.
Because the first one isn't available anywhere. It's also not nearly as good.
Okay, above Nobunaga's, we have SimCity, and I think it's better than SimCity as well.
Easily.
Yes. You get to kill things.
I forgot that we had SimCity on there.
It was a recent ad. Then we got Harvest Moon a few above that. Do we think it's better than Harvest Moon?
I like it better than Harvest
Moon. I do, too.
I like the concept of Harvest Moon more, but Age of
Killing things.
Yeah, Age of Empires way outcompetes it in terms of execution.
Let's see. Similar-looking games.
Pokemon Snap.
Ogre Battle.
Yeah,
Ogre Battle's way up there. Do I think it's as good as Ogre Battle? Actually, I think it's better than Ogre Battle. I just think Ogre Battle is overrated on this list. But yeah, I think it's better than Ogre Battle.
I'm not sure I do, actually.
The story isn't as good as it's non-existent.
That's true.
I threw that out there because I thought the management aspect kind of falls into the same side of things. Since we don't have very many on here, like you said, I think Ogre Battle succeeds by being a little bit...
Which Ogre Battle are we talking about, by the
I
way?
I was looking at March of the Black Queen. I always forgot about March of the Black Queen being on this list.
It's pretty high on the list, too, so...
It's overrated, too. It's way more overrated, I think.
Honestly, yeah, I think I...
Oh, there's Super Mario Bros. One slot above Ogre Battle 64. Solve that at number 20. Anyway.
Yeah, I think I would vote Age of Empires above Ogre Battle.
I don't think I'm willing to put it above Super Mario Brothers. Super Mario Brothers is just so clear from the beginning. Age of Empires has those hotkey problems, and it doesn't tutorialize very well.
It's got a lot more going on, although there isn't really a mastery element to it.
Some of that, I think, is to its detriment. Oftentimes, I felt there was a little too much going on in Age of Empires.
I don't think anyone ever really reached the level of insane skill at this game that they did at, say, StarCraft.
A few people did. There is a small scene, but no one was making a couple $1,000 in Korea.
This was also kind of before Battle.net was really a big thing. You know, the online gaming thing. StarCraft kind of was the first real big one for the RTS genre. So, because Battle.net was such an impressive platform. Everything else used GameSpy.
GameSpy. So we're going to put it right above Ogre Battle and right below Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah, that seems good.
All right.
There was like an Ant RTS that I played on GameSpy forever ago. I can't even remember. Oh, no. It was weird.
Okay, next one that's going to cause some conversation, I think, and hopefully it doesn't get too hated. Halo Combat Evolved.
Better than Doom.
Better than Doom. I actually don't think better than Doom, but two people just said it.
Well, debate it. You could sway me.
I just think Doom is better focused. Doom, everything is working towards the goal, right? Which is to make you feel like you're descending into hell and shooting things. I feel like Halo has stuff that gets in the way. The level design not being great, and...
I don't think Doom's level design was great,
true,
honestly.
That's fair, but it has a map screen to help you navigate and get around.
You don't really need one in Halo.
I think you do.
I got lost
so many times in Halo.
I'm still not sure how you got lost in Halo.
Well, that's not really the point.
Also, Doom, when you're lost, has ammo and cool new weapons for you to find and bonus overhealth. Whereas Halo, when you're lost, has doors for you to walk into hoping they open and then they don't and you're sad.
That's true, and you do kind of just have to follow the train of bodies eventually. But the different weapons actually fill different niches in Halo, And in Doom, they all feel exactly the same to me.
I feel like they're kind of upgrades in Doom. Like, the shotgun is definitely way better than the pistol, and then the machine gun is better, but they do not feel roles.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem. They're all upgrades over the previous iterations until you run out of ammo for them, but they all feel the same when using them.
One of the reasons why I would put Halo up there is because I personally think it is the smoothest of basically any of the games that we've played so far. You can transition from punching something in the face to shooting at it to throwing a grenade in it.
I feel like Mega Man X is just as smooth, too much, to be honest.
Because pausing it and switching my item...
You don't have to pause Mega Man X. You have the shoulder buttons to change weapons.
Yeah, but when you get, like, 15 of the... Or
you have to cycle through all of them to find what you're doing.
I almost always pause because it's a pain to cycle.
I don't, because there are a total of 8 weapons, so there's 4 either way.
That is true, but I accidentally overshoot because I never remember the order.
See,
that's more my problem.
Like,
though,
I could not tell you what the order is, but muscle memory lets me know.
Regardless, I think it is still more smooth than any of that. It looks a hell of a lot better than any of the other shooters, but that's also because it was made after all the other shooters.
I think that's really unfair comparing the graphics. It has it's so much later.
But it's one of the other things is that you could take the graphics down to like the level of Half-Life for the environments, and it would still just be better because the environments are more varied.
But
Half-Life is an underground bunker, which is gray, brown, muzzle flash, and Doom is gray, brown, muzzle flash, and Perfect Dark is too damn dark for me to tell.
I feel like what you have to move over in Half-Life is a lot more varied than what you have to move over in Halo.
Yeah.
Like, Halo looks different, but it behaves the same. Half-Life looks the same, but behaves different.
That was purely talking about the aesthetic of the different games. I wasn't talking about how I move across them. Besides, I can get a Jeep in Halo and drive around if I want.
I feel like cluttered versus not is part of the aesthetics, though.
There is a lot of clutter in Half-Life.
And there's not much in Halo.
Doom has a much more focused theme.
Yeah, I feel like everything in Doom is working towards that theme. Whereas, like I said, I feel like Halo, sometimes you get lost. I honestly feel like the cutscenes don't help it.
Yeah, I don't know that they hinder it, really.
I disagree with them not helping it. And I have at least one other thing here. Halo is multiplayer.
Yeah, the multiplayer does help a lot.
True, but no other shooter has beaten Doom because of that so far. And all of the other ones are, too.
All the other ones have had bad multiplayer.
That's very true. We have
Perfect Dark, we played a lot of multiplayer when we were kids. We have to acknowledge this.
Is Doom 2's multiplayer bad, though? Like, I didn't really play it.
Yes.
A lot of people really
and here's
liked
why.
It, though.
It's Doom 2 and Perfect Dark suffer from the same problem. A lot of their multiplayer maps are just single-player maps that have been chopped up.
My problem is actually more that the weapons aren't balanced for multiplayer.
Oh, that's very true.
Because it has a little bit of a minor problem with that, but the level design is so much better than the others that you can play around it much easier.
I know where Zach lies, and you know where I lie, so you're the deciding vote, Tyler.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with my original decision and say that I prefer Halo to Doom.
All right, then. Well, I'll have it bump it over Castlevania, too, since we basically decided they're a unit. What about compared to Castlevania Symphony of the Night? This is a little hard for me. I feel like Symphony of the Night has more going on. Again, the cutscenes don't help it. The story is not a good part of Symphony
of the Night.
You know
where I stand against this.
So, actually, if I got lost in Halo, I got lost a lot more in Symphony of the Night, and I had a goddamn map in Symphony of the Night.
But again, I feel like getting lost in Castlevania Symphony of the Night is maybe not the point, but it's something that's going to happen. It's a game where you're trying to explore and find things. Halo, you shouldn't be getting lost in, because it's only frustrating when you're lost in Halo.
That's true, and there are things to find in Symphony of the Night if you get lost. My problem is the pacing in that game was terrible. The pacing in Halo is constant action, and that's not necessarily
I feel like the pacing
great,
in Halo is bad, too. I
feel
what you're getting at, but I feel like the constant action numbs me into being bored until the Flood show up, and then suddenly it gets kind of interesting. But then again, they throw that all away in the next level.
I like the frenetic pace of Halo. I like being involved in the action a lot. In those breathers in between gunfights where I'm reloading, checking bodies for equipment that I might need, and moving on is something that I really, really enjoy.
This is
don't
absolutely
care for Symphony of the Night because of the fact that I have spent so much time trying to jump to the next combat that I spend more time
You can
doing
just
battle with the scenery and the platforms than I do with actual things I want to kill.
It's a man versus environment game, though, right?
I mean, that's the saying, I don't like the challenges as much. That's a taste thing, right?
I prefer the pacing in Halo, but
well, that's fair. I think neither of them is great, to be honest. I like Symphony of the Night a little better, but do you think it's better than Symphony of the Night overall?
I have a really hard time deciding on that one, but I think I'm going to have to give it to Halo on that.
Okay, so next up is Super Metroid.
Be damn hard-pressed to convince me that it's better than the Super Metroid.
Yeah, Super Metroid's pacing, again, I think is really good. And I think what very little story Super Metroid has helps with the theme. And the fact that there isn't dialogue or cutscenes just really hammers home that loneliness, that woman versus the entire world feeling.
All right. Well, the thing is, like, one of the things that I've always cared I like about Halo is, as it compared to Metroid, it's got more character, just in general. Halo has more character.
I disagree, to be honest.
Firmly
disagree
with that.
Shut up. Let me finish.
Fair enough.
In Metroid, you have one person. You're dealing with the enemies that crawl around on the rocks, right? They go from one side to the other. That's all they do.
Yeah.
In Halo, when you're dealing
with them... Some of them shoot at you while crawling up walls.
All the enemies have a certain amount of character. The grunts yell at you. If you kill the guy that's in charge, they will run away from you. They will only stand and fight if that guy's there. If he's not, they'll turn around and run away and hope to get away from you. Then eventually they will turn around and stand and fight again. But they have that time frame. The monitor is the most annoying SOB in gaming, but he's entertaining because of that. The Chief and Cortana are already extant characters. We know this. Elites have their own thing. The flood forms do different things. The hunters behave differently. They'll be more aggressive if you kill one. This is my point where the game itself has more character than almost anything we've played so far.
Now you're saying like the enemy design is more varied.
Well, yes, but it also gives the game character because the enemies are behaving differently. This one, they're basically got a pattern. And it's a difference between pattern game versus immersion.
Well,
to be honest, I think the enemies in Super Metroid have character too. Not as many of them. Halo is also more focused, which I think is a good thing. It has a small number of enemies. There are like 8 total, but they're all very well polished. Super Metroid has a lot more, but I feel not all of them have personality, but I feel some of them do. The space pirates fight a lot more intelligently. They're the like ostrich things that try to avoid you. And the bosses certainly have a ton of character, which are obviously you're going to spend more time shining them. But they all feel very distinct and different. And I feel like the environments of Metroid have more personality. Maybe it's just more it unifies with the theme. Halo is, it's not like that Super Mario thing of desert world, ice world, ship world, but it has sort of a feel of that. Like, you know, you go through the tundra, you go through the ships. That's more to vary the environment, which is good.
When you're slowly descending deeper to the core of the planet.
Whereas Metroid is, you're slowly descending deeper to the core of the planet. You're getting...
So they're both changing to their environments. I'm not sure what the difference is here.
Metroid does it for a purpose, though. Metroid is a descent into hell. It's similar to Doom. It reinforces the theme of you're getting into worse and worse areas. You're going deeper and deeper. Further and further from civilization, you're more and more alone. Halo, you're just jumping around and going where the plot needs you to go. And that's not a problem, but I prefer Super Metroids.
Honestly, Halo is structured like an action movie in that respect.
Also,
you're kind of going from scene
to scene.
You also
have vehicles and stuff in Halo. You get more stuff to play with.
Yeah, you get a grappling hook and like space jump and ice beams.
And Halo is probably more impacting in its genre anyway, but it doesn't really help it.
I don't know, Super Metroid.
Every single first-person shooter takes stuff from Halo.
And you know what Halo took stuff from? Doom.
I know.
But every single Metroidvania takes stuff from Super Metroid and a lot of games that are
Look at the games that we've played recently. They all have similar controls to how Halo controls.
What games have we played recently that are similar?
Not this podcast. Like us in general, as people. Payday.
Yeah.
Regenerating health. Secondary weapons fire on grenades. And melee combat.
Although
you don't have to switch to different ones to do this. That's one of my points. Is everything that you have, regenerating health, the way combat functions, all comes from Halo. In modern shooters.
Regenerating health, we pointed out on the Halo episode, did not come from Halo.
Wait, no.
It was one of the first popular ones. Definitely not the first with regenerating health. It was not the first.
It was the first one that worked, so...
It was the first one to map melee to its own button, which, you know...
I mean,
and grenade to its own button. Everything else, you had to switch to it and made it really awkward to try and throw a grenade at a group of enemies. It's easier just to shoot them all.
I mean, at the end of the day, I just think Super Metroid is more fun, and I think it's every bit as influential as Halo. Halo is inspiring the AAA games of today, but Metroid inspired Halo, and it inspired GTA...
It inspired the AAA games of then.
Yeah, it inspired the Metroidvania genre, which is getting a little more niche these days, but was a force for a while and is certainly sustained series.
And platformers and kind of exploration games in general.
And I think Samus in Super Metroid is a better character than the Master Chief in Halo.
Honestly, I think you could toss them in the same situation and they would behave almost identically.
Yeah.
They're basically the same character. The difference is the Chief has someone to talk to.
Samus has a little bit more of a focus on family, right? Like, if I had to write a Metroid game just based on this, I would make Samus a character who wanted to be a mother, but was conflicted about it because her job is obviously one in which being a mother is not going to help you. And like, her child was a Metroid, literally the most dangerous thing in the planet, and it still got killed. And then she has that adoption thing with the Chozo, too. And that's all very subtle and, like, background stuff, but I feel like it's more than the Chief has going on in Halo. But the Chief is also surrounded by characters who I guess are more characters, but I really feel like everyone in Halo is a pretty cardboard cutout. Except for the enemies you're fighting, which do have a lot of personality, but they don't have depth because they exist to be murdered. Nor should they have depth.
Like, neither of them really have a character arc over the course of their games.
No, definitely not. So. Neither of these stories are character stories.
Cortana has a character arc, so...
Yeah. Yeah, Cortana has an end.
In Halo?
Yeah.
In the Halo meta stories or in Halo Combat Evolved, the game?
Yeah, actually, the game.
What's Cortana's arc? Because I really don't see it. Cortana's like a snarky AI at the beginning, and she's a snarky AI that's leaving the planet at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually not entirely sure what her arc is. Never mind.
Her arc shows up more along the full line. That's why I was a little confused about
in sequels, maybe she does. I mean,
yeah,
I
think I'm imposing stuff that happens in later games on the first one.
But I feel like Halo has no story arc, and that's one of my problems with it. But Metroid doesn't have a way better one.
It's kind of the same thing on both sides. They both don't really have great story arcs for either of their characters. Chief blows up a planet.
So does Samus.
Well, I'm saying that they blow up a planet. I wasn't going to use that as an argument.
But nothing is
that was
changed. People are shot,
either.
People die, things
but nothing
die.
Really changes about their character or the situation, really, at the end.
They're
Samus
trained
and
good to
killing. Kind of because of the Metroid at the end. There's some family bonding type stuff.
That is true. And Mother Brain growing legs for no apparent reason. But whereas in Halo, you get the Flood released.
Well,
so.
Apparently Samus gains an ally at the end, and the Chief kind of lost all of his.
It's less that you gain one and more that it's more of a bonding thing. It's kind of hard to explain, because also Metroid 2 is not very good, and that's where she gets the Metroid. And then the plot of Super Metroid is that the space pirates kidnapped it, and so you're trying to rescue it. Oh. So it helps you in the final battle.
Okay.
I think Super Metroid's better.
I got to go back to the other standby.
We've talked about this enough. We just have to, I think,
multiplayer.
Throw in our stones.
Yeah, I prefer the single player of Super Metroid to the multiplayer of Halo.
Same.
Halo 3, though, that might be a different story, but not the original.
All right, so Halo below Super Metroid, above...
I don't know why I spent any time trying to argue that. That wasn't going anywhere.
Because this is a podcast for conversation. And maybe you convince someone who is on the fence, who's listening,
that is
of
true.
Your point of view. But you didn't convince us.
You convinced Kevin.
Last one we need to rank for today is Alleyway. Should be pretty easy. Well, let's go straight to...
I don't even remember...
This is the breakout clone. We just played it.
Okay.
Let's compare it to Mario Brothers.
I prefer Mario Brothers.
Yeah, I also pretty substantially prefer Mario Brothers.
All right, so let's go down to another minigame-y-like game. Solomon's Key. How do you think it compares to Solomon's Key? I think there's a little more going on in that.
I think I agree. The Solomon's Key was actually challenging. Alleyway got boring enough that I just quit.
I can't even remember Solomon's Key.
It's like a puzzle platformer where you can, like, move and destroy blocks.
No, I didn't care for that.
You play a wizard. Elevator action. Elevator action has a little more action in it.
And more elevators. Although there is more
but
elevation.
Less alleys.
There are no alleys in alleyways, so I'm not sure why it's
Are you sure
that
we're not playing in an alley?
That's true. It might actually be a metaphor for shooting people in the Capone era in Chicago. I don't think they thought that far.
I like elevator action more.
Yeah, I would probably prefer to play alleyway, but that's I kind of like the Zen aspect of it, and I didn't
alleyway's
really like elevator
arguably
action.
Arguably a better mobile game, if nothing else.
Okay, if you're done, it's Pilot Wings. I think I like alleyway more than Pilot Wings. It's a little more focused.
I think I like Pilot Wings more than Alleyway simply because it was trying something.
Yeah, but you're outvoted.
Yeah.
It's a very Zen game.
Right above Pilot Wings is ActRaiser, and ActRaiser was trying a lot, so I think I have to give it to ActRaiser there.
I also prefer ActRaiser, but...
All right, so Alleyway will go right under ActRaiser
and
right above Pilot Wings. So that is our episode for this week. And I'm not going to let anyone tell me whose turn it is because it was my turn last time. And maybe we could have avoided this terrible Mystic Quest if people had paid any attention.
Well, that's okay. I'll call the other terrible Final Fantasy
right.
game.
Oh, right. We were supposed to be... Mystic Quest was the game. I thought we were just talking about Halo again.
So next week, we are going to play what I think is the last game we've played out of order in any series. I might be wrong.
We can fix that. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm sure. We're going to play Castlevania The Adventure for Game Boy. I hear it's not very good, but...
I didn't even know that existed.
I was unaware.
Boy Castlevania game?
Yeah, it came out after Castlevania, before Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest. I was going to make a joke about Simon's Quest and failed. So go me. So next time on Last Time, I will fail to make some jokes because it's not a good night to have a curse. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2015. All the games, movies, and other media mentioned in the show are copyright their respective owners, in case that wasn't obvious. Past episodes, articles, and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to find us on Twitter, we are @ltovg. We can also be found on iTunes. If you wanted to help us out, we would really appreciate if you left us a 5-star review. No extra lies were lost in the recording of this podcast. Let's see how much better after I find Nobunaga's ambition. Come to me, find feature.